And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. And this is Friday, folks. So I hope you're getting ready for a very nice weekend. Isn't it amazing how quickly the time gets by? And they say time flies when you're having fun. And I'm certainly having fun on the program and having fun talking to you all. I'm excited about today's program because I've made up my mind. I'm going to take your calls earlier today because I really felt badly that I left so many people on the line yesterday that I didn't get to. And I want to start early with telephone calls today so I can get to as many as possible. And maybe some of the people who did not get a chance to talk yesterday are in a position to call back, and I'd love to get your call. The number is 888-589-8840. And if you don't mind waiting a bit, I may not get to you this segment because it may take me until the beginning of the next segment to do that because I want to get out of the way a couple of preliminary things. You all asked me some questions yesterday, and I wanted to make sure that I responded to those questions. Somebody asked me about Article 1, Section 3 of the Virginia Constitution. The final lines of it reads, of that particular section reads, "Whenever any government shall be found inadequate or contrary to these purposes," the purposes of the common benefit and protection and so forth, "a majority of the community hath an indubitable, inalienable, and indefeasible right to reform, alter, or abolish it in such manner as shall be judged most conducive to the public weal." And I was asked the question, did I think that applied to some of the Second Amendment infringement that is going on in Virginia right now, not to mention the infringement on the lives of unborn children? And I think it does apply, but I think the key word there is majority. And the comeback to that would be, well, you know, you've had a chance for the majority to speak, and it's in elections, and you failed over the last 10 years, and we have in Virginia. But I don't think that's going to continue. I think that Virginia is going to elect a legislature that reflects its values and is going to elect a governor and an attorney general and a lieutenant governor in 2021 that reflect Virginia values rather than these folks that we've got right now who, frankly, are a bunch of secularists, atheists, Marxists, socialist, communists, transgenders, homosexuals. I mean, you know, they have gotten a motley crew involved with, by the way, with the help of the New Virginia Majority, which is a, I have on good authority, which is a communist China backed group with George Soros money and others that have come in and registered a bunch of people in Virginia, some of whom may be in Virginia and some of whom may just be made up. You never know with these folks because I don't think that election integrity is even part of their vocabulary. I think they could care less about whether elections are lawful and orderly. I think the only thing they care about is that the election outcome is what they want. I don't think they have the same sort of patriotic view that we do about free elections, and we want the people to actually have a chance to speak, and we want it to be fair, we want it to be lawful, and we want it to be orderly, and we want it to happen so that the real will of the people is expressed. The left does not have those compunctions again, folks. They just don't. They don't care. The ends justify the means. By any means necessary is their mantra. And so my friend, for example, Christian Adams, found about 8,000 illegal immigrants on the registration rolls here in Virginia. And that was just in a sampling of counties, 8,000. So, folks, yeah, the Constitution of Virginia provides for the majority to take action. But how that gets played out is another matter. And I think what it contemplates is that it gets played out through referenda or through elections or through appropriate political means. And I think that might have been what the caller was getting at yesterday. So just wanted to respond to that. If you want to call and comment further, feel free. The other thing somebody asked me, is it legal? I mean, isn't it illegal to threaten a federal official? So I did look it up. 18 U.S.C., United States Code, Section 875 and Section 876 say threatening government officials of the United States is a felony under federal law and carries a maximum penalty of 5 or 10 years. And the three elements of the offense are there must be a transmission in interstate commerce, and I think that happened with Schumer. There must be a communication containing the threat. I think that happened with Schumer. And the threat must be a threat to injure the person of another. I think that's where it may fail, because he could argue, well, I never said I would injure anybody, or I said, you know, they were going to pay a price. And, you know, his sort of pseudo apology said a political price. In fact, let's listen to his non-apology right now.
Now, I should not have used the words I used yesterday. They didn't come out the way I intended to. My point was that there would be political consequences for President Trump and Senate Republicans if the Supreme Court, with the newly confirmed justices, stripped away a woman's right to choose. Of course, I didn't intend to suggest anything other than political and public opinion consequences for the Supreme Court, and it is a gross distortion to imply otherwise. I'm from Brooklyn. We speak in strong language.
So it's Brooklyn's fault. Now, you know, my father had a phrase. He called it educated fools. In other words, some people are educated beyond their intelligence. And this is what you have here, an educated fool. First of all, we heard what he said. And what he said was quite clear. And he was not talking about politics, and he was not talking about senators. And he was talking specifically to those two justices. He called them by name and he said, and you will pay the price. So come on. Yeah, I would just have so much more respect if they just said, look, you know what? I shouldn't have said what I said. And let me correct myself and move on. But oh, no. They're too full of pride to do that. So that was one. That was the other thing. I really do believe you can argue that he committed a crime. But you have to remember, as a practical matter, it doesn't really matter unless a prosecutor is willing to take it on. Right. Because we citizens can't bring criminal proceedings against people. It takes a prosecutor to say, I think this person committed a prosecutable crime for which he or she should be held accountable. And I don't think you're going to find a U.S. attorney who is willing to go after Chuck Schumer on the basis of that comment, although I think somebody probably should. And maybe if a more full-throated apology would make me say, well, maybe not. But to me, all he's doing is really trying to cover up what he actually did. It was bad enough that Chief Justice John Roberts, who is certainly no conservative warrior, stood up and said, look, you can't talk like that. You can't say such things. And he's right. I think that was completely and totally out of order. Well, look, when I finished the program yesterday, and I talked to my wife. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to hear from the left, because yesterday I used the phrase homovirus in talking about the what I consider to be the infectious plague that has been unleashed psychologically and spiritually on America. And I was talking particularly about the black community. I said, well, you got a situation where 72% of children are being born out of wedlock. And by the way, in Richmond, it's 80%. In some cities, it's that high or higher. I said, the last thing in the world you need is people introducing the idea that gender is not real, and men are not men, and women are not women, boys are not boys, and girls are not girls, or introducing the idea that you don't need a man and a woman to raise children. You can have two men and both be husbands, or two women and both be wives. I said, that's the last thing you need in a community that is beset by family breakdown, a lack of family formation, and a lack of ability to maintain the family, is these kinds of confusing and immoral and perverse and evil ideas. And I call those the homovirus. And of course, the left went berserk in the cyber world. And I woke up this morning to their comments, and I'll share some of those with you back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
For the last approximately 100 years, Americans knew what type of person they wanted in the Oval Office. It was someone with executive experience. Most of the time it was a former governor, but sometimes we would settle for a general or even a business executive. The list is rather obvious. You had Governor Franklin D. Roosevelt, Governor Jimmy Carter, Governor Ronald Reagan, Governor Bill Clinton, and Governor George W. Bush. Add to that General Dwight Eisenhower, along with business executives like Herbert Hoover and Donald Trump. You could also add Richard Nixon and George Herbert Walker Bush as men who served in the executive office of vice president before becoming president. Of course, there were exceptions. Senator John F. Kennedy and Senator Barack Obama became president without any executive position, but they were the exceptions. Consider that 4 years ago, you had governors like Scott Walker, Rick Perry, Mike Huckabee, and Chris Christie running. This time, you didn't have the same kind of field of governors or executives in the Democratic primaries. The closest might be former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who actually governed a city with more population than you would find in more than three dozen states. It's easier to evaluate a governor because they run a government with lots of employees, make cabinet appointments, and appoint judges. They have to make tough decisions about budgets. By contrast, it is difficult to evaluate how a U.S. senator will do in the Oval Office, especially if their political party is in the minority. So next time we have a presidential election, I hope we have qualified governors and other executive types running. There are lots of qualifications for a president, but one of those, and most important, is executive experience. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A Deaf March. This is Ken Ham, whose ministry has produced the family-friendly Answers Bible curriculum. In Germany, researchers uncovered a fossil of the marks made by a crawling horseshoe crab. And at the end of the path, you saw the crab itself. Now, the only way to make sense of this fossil is to start with God's word. Preserving fossil tracks and animals requires rapid burial. Noah's flood would have provided the perfect conditions for this kind of burial. But the horseshoe crab is unique in another way. Go to the Atlantic coast and you may see a live one. And it will look almost identical to fossil crabs, even though they're thought to be hundreds of millions of years old. The horseshoe crab's just another example of a lack of evolution. And that's because God created the animal kind.
Plan your visit to the Ark Encounter at AnswersRadio.com and also come to the Creation Museum and see this remarkable Death March fossil of a crab. Go to AnswersRadio.com.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I will come to your calls in just a second. I'll read you only one of the comments made about my homovirus comment yesterday. Some of them I can't read because they're filthy. But I'll read you this, just this one, and we'll come back to this because I want to take your calls. The person says, Here we go. Here's the person said, this is somebody called himself Sasquatch 7816, whatever that means. It says, imagine being against what a couple does in their private life behind closed doors that has no effect on anyone else whatsoever. That is what brings me to believe that Christianity is nothing more than systemic hate and oppression. And I would simply say to that, to Sasquatch, look, we would love everybody, but we don't consider ourselves to be investigators of what people do in the privacy of their own lives. But folks, it's quite the opposite. They are pushing this stuff constantly in our faces, at our children, through entertainment. Even Sesame Street now apparently is exalting this so-called gay, which is no such thing. I mean, because that means happy and carefree, and these are not happy, carefree people. They are homosexuals. But they're pushing that stuff on kids now through what used to be educational television. So Tony Perkins, I think, said it this way. No, we need to get out of your bedrooms. It's that you need to get your bedroom out of our schools and out of our libraries and out of our public spaces and basically out of our faces. That's really, it's not us chasing down their private lives. It's them constantly pushing their private lives at us. And of course, it's propaganda backed up by personal vilification and destruction. If anybody dares to suggest, no, I don't agree with it, it's against the word of God, it's perverse, it's an abomination in God's sight, I will never approve it, but I love the people and I pray for them that God will deliver them out of their bondage to this abominable sin. Now, they would say that's hateful. I would say that's the most loving thing I can say because it gives people an opportunity to repent and be saved. All right, let's go to the telephones. All right, I'm happy about this because I'm getting on the lines with you all earlier than I normally do. So let's go to Carl in West Virginia. Carl, welcome.
Hello, Brother Jackson. You have a great show. Excuse me.
Thank you,
I
sir.
I pray that your audience will increase. I'm a conservative. First of all, I'm a Christian, born-again Christian. I've been involved in a culture war since 1974. I spent 33 years as a teacher, and part of that time as a principal in the public schools. And I want to tell you, the other side recognizes where the battlefront is in the culture war. It's for the hearts and minds of children. Mm-hmm. We don't get it. Now, we can't take back the public schools. We need to get our children out. That's our only hope. I'd like to hear your thoughts Amen. On that, brother.
Carl, thank you so much for the call and for the compliment. I really do appreciate the encouragement. Carl, I agree with you 1,000%. I've given up on public schools. I think that public schools are the wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party, their unions, and their politicians. And they're not about education. They're about indoctrination. And by the way, that doesn't mean there aren't some decent teachers in public schools doing the best they can. Folks, my wife taught in public schools for 20 years. But you know what? She left frustrated with the direction in which education is going in this country because she saw it firsthand. So I agree with you 100%. And I would encourage, I've been encouraging the young people in my church, save, pray. Don't put your children in public schools. You are asking to lose or have your children ruined. Okay, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jamie. Hold on here. Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bishop. I was going to actually go a different direction with my question with the call.
Go right ahead. That's fine.
But I want to go say something on the contrary about public schools. I myself was put into a Christian school in my area, and it was a smaller school, and I absolutely hated my experience. But what I want to say is I think we should be like Nehemiah with a trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. I think we should infiltrate the public schools and take it all back for the Lord. Like the rainbow flag, the rainbow is God's. It's not theirs. It's God's. It's his reminder through his grace to his bride. And so I say, let's take the public schools back. Don't take your kids out there. It's our schools. We pay our taxpayers money for it. And let's get back in there and put God back in there. That's what I have to say.
Okay. So you made that comment in response to the last caller and my comments. Was there anything else?
No, sir. That's just okay. How I feel in my heart. It's time to get
all
back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate the call. Look, I know that there are people with that point of view, and I respect their right to hold that point of view. This is my attitude, and my wife and I took our children out of public schools, that if it were me in there engaged in the fight, that would be one thing. But my children are defenseless. They are defenseless. They can't fight back. And I can't be there with them 6 or 8 hours a day. And folks, I just think that you cannot overcome 6 or 8 hours of indoctrination, no matter how active a parent you are. Now, that's my view. And there may be some who've had a different experience. And that's great because that's an encouragement to people whose children are in public schools or who maybe feel that they don't have the wherewithal or the ability to take them out. But if it were me, yeah, my children would be gone. That's exactly what my wife and I did. So I'm not telling you all do something that my family didn't do. That's what we did. And we made the decision because of things that were happening in the public schools, by the way, folks. I mean, we have. You know what? Let me get to. Let me get back to your phone calls, because if I start telling a story, I may not be able to get to you, and I know I'm running short on time before our next break. So let's go to. Let's go to Gina in Texas. Gina, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Gina, I'm here. You have to turn your radio down so we don't have any feedback, but you're on.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your show, and I just wanted to say that it's going to take both sides pulling everybody out of school in order to get our schools back. And we're going to have a shadow election with handwritten ballots in order to have an election that is not going to be messed with by the Democrats. This is why they spend millions and millions of dollars on what their scam of Democratic elections and all of that, because they're going to steal this away from Trump. And if we do not have the data to let him fight for the presidency for his second term, which would be the outcome of a shadow election with handwritten ballots right after you elect on the computers, you walk outside and you cast your handwritten vote. That would be the only way that we can secure the White House to the true winner, that because data is the most commodity that we have. And if we don't have anything to offset the Democrats cheating and showing them who really voted for who, Trump has, he just doesn't have a plan to win, because these people are crooks. They're tired of letting Trump win, and they're going to take him out this time unless we have a shadow election with handwritten ballots.
All right, Gina. Listen, I take your point, and you are absolutely right about this. They will lie, steal, cheat. This whole thing of ballot harvesting, having illegal aliens registered to vote. They will do pretty much anything that is necessary in order to win. You are absolutely right. And now whether your solution is doable or not, I don't know. But I do know this. We better be vigilant. We better be vigilant, because you're right. If they can steal it, they will steal it. The very thing they're accusing the president of doing, of trying to use foreign involvement to steal an election, they'll use anybody, anywhere, anytime, anything in order to get what they want. And what they want is power. You know, black people, Hispanic people, poor people, it is time to wake up from this bill of goods that the Democrat Party is selling folks that they're concerned about the poor. They're not concerned about the poor. They're not concerned about minorities. They're not concerned about women. They're concerned about power. And all these identity groups are pawns on their power game chessboard. That's all. And as long as you are useful to them, great. Because I tell you something, I found out that, for example, if you are a black conservative who does not adhere to the plantation politics of the Democrat Party, if you are willing to call them out on their condescending racism, if you are willing to say, no, you are wrong about taxes and you are wrong about moral issues and you are wrong about abortion. Oh, yeah. You'll find out how much they really love minorities. I'll tell you what, Clarence Thomas had it right. They will take you on a high-tech lynching like nothing you've ever seen before if they can. And folks, I've experienced it when I ran for lieutenant governor here, won the Republican nomination. The stuff that they did, I mean, it shocked me. It really did. It shocked me. And it just let me know how much. In fact, I had a campaign staffer say to me, no, he said, Bishop, you don't understand. I said, well, I don't understand what? He said, they don't just disagree with you. They hate your guts. They hate you from the very core of their being. They can't kill you, but if they could, they would. That's how they feel about you. And you know what he said? I thought, well, you know what? That certainly comports with the way they're treating me. But I thought they love black people. Right. Yeah, they do. They only love the kind that will kowtow to their lies and deception. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
When I first started flying, I was scared. Every time I was in an airplane that took off or landed, I was very nervous. However, since I've become accustomed to flying, I find it pretty enjoyable, most of the time. In fact, I guess flying has kind of spoiled me. I hate to drive any long distance now. I can recall an experience once when several of us were flying between Athens and Tel Aviv. We hit some turbulence, the worst I've ever experienced. It was so bad that even the stewardess near me got into a seat, fastened her seat belt, and got into the safety position. Well, I happened to be sitting next to a salesman who was very experienced in flying. We had been discussing it, and he told me that he was accustomed to flying and thought nothing of it. It was, he said, the quickest way to get from one point to another. When we first hit the turbulence, I noticed that the salesman suddenly got out of his talkative mood. As we continued in the turbulence, and it grew worse, the salesman grew noticeably nervous. I had become so accustomed to flying by that time that hitting turbulence didn't really bother me that much. I had decided on previous flights that the possibility of a crash was remote and that all my worrying wouldn't prevent a crash. So I concluded that in flying I was going to enjoy myself, and if we crashed, we crashed. It wasn't that I wasn't afraid of crashing or that I didn't mind the possibility that I could die if the plane crashed. It was simply that I had given my life to God, and He'd take care of me even if the plane did crash, and even if I did die. During the turbulence, some of my Christian friends and I made jokes about the quick movements of the plane, laughed, and we had a good time. Soon the turbulence was over. The salesman sitting next to me called the stewardess and ordered 3 shots of whiskey. Yeah, 3 shots of whiskey. I guess if you haven't got the spirit, you have to have some spirits. Each time I remember that incident, I recall the tale about the very rich man who was flying for the first time. Maybe you've heard it. The plane hit some bad turbulence. The man became frightened. He prayed like he had never prayed before. He promised God that if God would let him get down safely, he would give God half of everything he owned. Well, the turbulence soon ended, and the plane landed safely. When the rich man got off the plane, he was reminded of his prayer by a Christian who had been sitting next to him. "I'm sure you're going to carry out your promise," the Christian said. "Well, sir," the man replied, "I have made God another promise, better than that one." "What's that?" the Christian asked. "Well," the man said, "I promised God that if I ever got on another one of those things, I would give him everything I own." Well, my only comment is that there are people like that.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And I am going to try to keep my comments to a minimum so that I can get as many of your calls in as possible, because I enjoy listening to what you all have to say. But that sometimes it's so good that I have to say something. So, but I'll try to keep it to a minimum. So let's go to, let's see, in Missouri. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome.
Hey, EW. How you doing? Hey. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'd like to know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I said thank you. Go ahead.
I'd like to know why it seems like they go after all the Republicans. They go after Trump, and then he went the full 9 yards, and then they weren't able to get him. But it seems like Obama did so many impeachable things, putting money in Iran, billions of dollars, and Biden did the same thing. Nobody ever went after them. And then Chuck Schumer, oh, I misspoke. But if the Republican would have done it, it would have been, oh, my God, let's go after him. He needs to be put behind bars. And all of our good people, it seems like they get terrorized by the left. And Maxine Waters inciting riots with all the people doesn't get anything. Hillary goes and beat your phones up with sledgehammers and has the server? Nothing. Had all of her people protected. Do they remember that?
Well, you know, I think it was Chris Plant who said this, so I will not take credit for it. He said if Democrats didn't have double standards, they would have no standards at all. And I think that's what it is. They don't really have any standards at all. And what they have is complete and total moral and legal expediency. You do it, we put you in jail. We do it, we make excuses and we slough it off. I mean, think about Fast and Furious, sending guns down to Mexico that later get Americans killed. Think about President Obama making comments about the investigation into Hillary's email scandal and saying, oh, she didn't really do anything wrong. If Donald Trump had said that, it would have been a hue and cry across the land. Oh, he's obstructing justice. He's interfering with the investigative process. Who does he think he is? And with Obama, it was just a yawn. Because after all, he's so cool and he's so intelligent. And how could anyone question anything he says or does, right? So you're right. I mean, it just, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. All right, let's go to the next call. Let's go to Paul in Kansas. Paul, welcome.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, Paul.
Perfect. I got a question that kind of goes off the beaten path you're on today. With Joe Biden making that comment to, I think it was the Ukrainians, about do this or else I take X million dollars away from you, like fire that guy or else I'm going to take the $6 million or $1 billion away from you. One, that sounds like a bribery and a quid pro quo. So my question is, how come the Republican Party didn't go after him since, I mean, they were going after Trump for something that clearly wasn't like a bribe? Why didn't they go after Sleepy Joe?
Well, I think the question is, why don't they do that now, or will they ever do that? Because I think that too often conservatives allow ourselves to be put on the defensive, and we are accustomed to that posture, and we rarely take the offense. And look, folks, I've said many, many times, and thanks for the call, Paul, I've said many, many times, I'm not interested in destroying anybody. I'm not interested in putting anybody in jail just for the fun of it. I think the left enjoys that kind of stuff. I don't. I mean, I don't want to destroy people. But look, when you are playing around with the national security of the United States of America and your family is benefiting to the tune of perhaps billions of dollars, as in the case with China and Ukraine, it was millions, and basically selling influence and selling access to foreign entities, and you've got somebody saying that the Chinese leadership, they're good folks. They're good folks. They are evil communist dictators. Now, yes, we have to deal with them. We have to try to get along with them. We have to manage that relationship because they are a growing economy. They've got nuclear weapons, and we don't want to go to war with China if we could possibly help that. We don't. But that doesn't change the nature of that administration. And Joe Biden is praising it. And well, of course, because his son has just got an investment fund of $1.5 billion from the communist Chinese. And you mean to tell me that shouldn't be investigated? You better believe it should. And you are absolutely right about that. Let's go to, let's see, where do we want to go now? Let's go to Ohio. Let's go to Jennifer in Ohio. Jennifer, welcome.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm blessed, Jennifer. I hope you are too.
In Ohio.
Good.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Jennifer? What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to know, how can I donate to your program?
well, listen.
I want to keep you on the air.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. Go to AFR.net, and you will find a donate button there for you to give to American Family Radio. We appreciate that.
Oh, okay.
AFR.net, okay? Now,
well,
Jennifer.
God bless you.
Well, okay. God, I thought you were going to say something about the schools and homosexuality.
Oh yeah, I agree with everything these people are saying, and I think we just have to be involved. And we, you know, if you can afford to get your children into a different school, yes. But you know, I think that these public schools need to be fought.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, it may be that the best way to fight them, Jennifer, is to withdraw. Because when you withdraw and they have no students, guess what? That means the school ultimately cannot continue, or it has to ratchet down its operations, let teachers go. That's why I think school choice is so important, because it will introduce competition into the process and it will make them compete for parents' attention and willingness to send their children there. And when they realize, if you're going to teach my child that he's not a boy, he's a girl, and you're going to tell my child that, don't worry, we won't tell your parents that you come to school and put on a dress, and you're going to teach my child how to put on instruments of sexuality and how to have different kinds of sex, and instead of teaching my child reading and writing and arithmetic and history and civics, and well, then bye, I'll see you. I'm taking my child out. And if enough parents do that, well, guess what? The resources to that school dry up. And at some point, the administration realizes, well, wait a minute. If we're not serving the parents and we're not affirming their values, they're going to take their dollars elsewhere. And I think that would be the best thing that could happen to the public schools, to face that kind of competition. So, Jennifer, thanks for the call. Let's see. You've been very patient. Carl in Texas. Carl, welcome.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jackson, my comment is the Democrats, the leftists, all they're interested in is votes and power. And they will tell you anything you want to hear, promise you the world. And they don't care where the votes come from. They could come from the black. They could come from the Hispanic. They could come from the white. Right. They could come from the dead.
And Carl, I've got to take a break. They could come from dead people. They could come from cats and dogs. I agree with you 100%. They don't care where they come from as long as they're counted in the victory. Folks, look, we are facing an existential threat to the future of our nation, and the bottom line always comes back to the same thing. God, all the stuff we're talking about, think about it. Socialism, communism, Marxism, homosexuality, transgenderism, redistribution of wealth, which is theft. All of it comes back to one thing: rejecting the standards that Almighty God set forth for us. And when people do that, they start to create their own morality, and that only leads to one place: utter misery and chaos. That's all it can lead to. That's all it's always led to. In fact, folks, look, it led to that in the Garden of Eden. It led to that in the murder of Abel by Cain. And it's been the same thing throughout human history. When people turn their backs on God, chaos and evil ensue. It's just unavoidable. The Word of God says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So what does that leave you with? It leaves you with nothing. And that's why we have got to continue to pray for these folks who are opposing themselves and opposing God and hating our country and trying to fundamentally transform it into some sort of socialist, communist nightmare. And I'm just believing God that we're going to win. Back in a moment.
I think the greatest pieces of change for me came when I not only recognized but truly allowed myself to accept the fact that he makes no mistakes.
Melissa Oden on Focus on the Family Minute.
He does not make any mistakes. You know, we live in the society that branded me as a mistake long ago, and that caused me a lot of suffering. And so when I really...
Well, and you had to believe it to a point to mm-hmm. begin to act the way you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you were buying the lie.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe I am a mistake. And, you know, at some point, yeah, now I've sinned and maybe I'm too far gone, right? God can't love me anymore. And that's the beauty in it, right? We think that maybe God has left our side and he's always there. We are usually the ones who turn our backs.
God loves you and has a purpose for your life. Hear more from Melissa at familyminute.org.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And we're just doing open lines today. Anything you want to bring up is fine. Let's go back to the calls and get you all in there. Let's see. Jeff, you've been very patient. You've been waiting quite a while. Jeff from Louisiana, welcome.
Hey, thanks, E.W. Make a comment and I'm hang up. This earth's been existing for over 2,000 years. And you mean to tell me we don't know the difference between male and female? We ain't never gonna know. And second, you remember when Bernie Sanders was interviewing somebody that Trump had, you know, wanted to be on his cabinet, and he asked him, you know, are you condemned if you don't believe in Jesus? This poor gentleman had a chance to tell him yes. You are condemned if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brother.
All right. Well, Jeff, and to give Russ Vaught credit, he did. He didn't quite say it that directly, but he did say, I am a Christian, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I was writing an article for a Christian college for someone who had challenged our statement of faith. So I think that was pretty direct for Bernie Sanders, but you're right. He kept pushing him. Yes, so you're saying that, are you saying Muslims are condemned without Jesus Christ? And I think it's so many words. He said, well, I'm saying that anybody is condemned without Jesus Christ. But let's make something clear, folks. There's nobody who's going to land in hell that God didn't give a chance to. Not a single person. The Bible says people will be without excuse because the heavens declare the glory of God, even if they didn't hear from someone verbally or they didn't get anything in writing. They are going to get a witness from God to give them a chance to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ and come to know him. I just believe that is going to be true for every single human being on the face of the earth in one. Look, Cornelius didn't know Jesus. And yet he had a good relationship with the Jewish community and gave alms a lot and supported the building of their synagogues and whatnot. And he was reaching out to God, but he didn't know Jesus. And what does the Bible teach? That God sent an angel to him and said, send for a man named Peter, and he will tell you what you need to do. Don't tell me God will not touch and reach anybody who is willing to open their hearts for him. So there's nobody who's going to hell who won't go to hell after having rejected God. I guarantee you again and again and again and again and again. So let's just get that straight. And in terms of male and female, we've 6,000 years of human history, and you're right. This whole thing of same-sex marriage, so-called, is not a marriage, but this whole thing, they're overturning all of human history. You know, suddenly, all of human history is wrong, and those of us who believe this are wrong, and we're just bigots and haters and stupid people who just don't know any better. And I guess if only there had been a gay rights movement from the very beginning of human history, we would all been taught properly, right? This stuff is just, folks, it's just insane. And sadly, these people, we know that homosexuality is the result of emotional and spiritual wounding. And I've gotten into trouble with people for saying that, but let's face it, it is. It is, because something's twisted on the inside that makes a man want to be with another man. And Romans chapter 1 says so. It says so. It says that it's called a reprobate in the Old King James, a reprobate mind in the New King James, called a debased mind. So don't argue with me, for you leftists who are monitoring the program. Argue with God. Argue with the Bible. Attack the Bible. See how you make out. See if you can get God to change his mind. Okay, let's go to Joe in Oklahoma. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Well, so far, so good. I had a couple of comments for you. I told you call screener about one of them, but I thought of something else when I was on hold there. First of all, I was a classroom teacher for about 11 years, and when we'd have a parent-teacher meeting, it's always in the evenings, and the most I ever saw parents showing up was about a couple dozen people. And we had 1,500 mm-hmm. kids in that school. Mm-hmm. And so the parents are just not as involved as they ought to be. And the second thing that I wanted to say was, you guys talk about abortion all the time, and I kind of had a perspective on that I wanted to share with everybody. Everybody on the left, from Hillary Clinton on down, they justify abortion by saying that unborn baby is nothing more than a collection of tissue. And as it happens, and I was a biology major in college, so I know what I'm talking about, that describes everybody. We're all just a collection of tissue. And that's all I had for you.
Well, you know, thank you for the call, Joe. And look, another caller brought up something similar. The caller just before... when he talked about after 6,000 years, I think he misspoke about 6,000 years of human history. We haven't gotten that straight yet. You know, isn't it interesting how the left embraces science when they think it helps their cause, and how they ignore it when it doesn't? Look, every male on the planet has a Y chromosome, and that Y chromosome is symbolic of, not only symbolic of, but is part of why that male's body produces testosterone, why that man has male genitalia, and why he behaves in certain ways, why his musculature is different than a woman's. Every woman is lacking that Y chromosome. Her body is bathed in estrogen, which is why she has a certain musculature that the man doesn't have. She has wider hips. She has breasts. She has the ability to carry a baby in her uterus, and men don't have that ability. That is all constructed on the basis of the chromosomal difference, and as a result of the chromosomal difference, the hormonal difference between the two sexes, the two genders. That's all science, folks. I mean, it's just undeniable science. But the left doesn't care about that. But if you dare question the cataclysmic results of science of climate change, if I dare say, well, you know what? Maybe 12 years from now, the world won't end. What? Why, you're a denier. You're a science denier. You're a denier. You're the equivalent of people who deny the occurrence of the Holocaust. You are a terrible, you are a genocidal maniac. You want to kill the whole world with climate change. I mean, that's the kind of apoplectic stuff they get into when the science, they think, and they're wrong about the science of climate change, by the way, because it is not that we can't measure changes in the Earth's temperature. We can. It is the conclusions that they draw as a result. And they're just completely wrong. I believe that God made the Earth as a homeostatic object in the universe. In other words, it adjusts, it is flexible, it meets its challenges. And God didn't make this earth to be fragile enough that once we started driving SUVs and flying jet planes, oh my goodness gracious, it's over. It's just over. I mean, that's just stupid. But here again, these are people who don't believe in God anyway. They don't believe that God created the world. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so they don't believe that he made the world to withstand whatever human beings could throw at it and still exist. And when it comes time, believe me, for the planet to be dealt with, it'll be God who deals with it, not climate change. Okay, let's go to Shauna in Texas. Shauna, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yes, I can hear you.
I had a comment in addition to the gentleman that was just on, who's also, I'm a teacher as well. I'm retired now. I just work part-time, but I only work in the private school systems for the incarnate, such as the incarnate word. And one of the reasons I chose that is what you were saying. We pray three times a day with our students. Aloud, we have the Ten Commandments posted. It is the focus of our mission. Our motto was to teach, to build, and serve in the Spirit of Christ. That kind of schooling is what makes a difference, even though you don't have the effect. What I wanted to say, and it hit me, made me so sad when you were talking, thank you for the words you said about homosexuality, how damaging it is. I'm dealing with that in my own home. I have a child that was raised conservatively, is Christian, but is also extremely compassionate. And because of her exposure, I think it began with a book she read. She's a voracious reader in the public school system called Luna. The book was about a transgender youth coming out. I read the book after she had it, and I was surprised at how well it was written, but sickened. And it literally changed her mindset.
Oh my goodness.
What I wanted to point out to people is to say, be careful. Read, you know, read over what your children are reading, because you are right. The public school system has inclusion forced upon it by law. Not everyone there is definitely in support of that, that's for sure. But nonetheless, to keep their jobs, they have to comply. That's why I can do it.
Shauna, thank you so much for the call. That is a powerful, powerful note, folks, to end on, because it makes the case, doesn't it? It makes the case. This is a Christian woman raising her child as a Bible-believing Christian, and the child goes to public schools and is exposed to a book. Because, and you know, folks may say, well, yeah, but just a book, come on. One book shouldn't change a child's mind. Folks, understand something. There's a spiritual dimension behind this stuff. You know, homosexuality is not just a psychological problem. It's a spiritual problem. And there are demonic forces that affirm this stuff and promote it and will use writings and indoctrination and articles in order to enter the mind of vulnerable children and mess them all up. So here again, keeping your children, I say, if it were me in an institution where I thought I had to stay and fight, okay, I feel like I can handle it. But my child, I just think it's putting too much at risk. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. And look, we got started early with phone calls and got a lot of phone calls in. I appreciate that. Still couldn't get everybody in, but we appreciate you trying anyway. But I'll be back on Monday, I can assure you that. In the name of Jesus, I believe it. And in the meantime, I want you to believe this, that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Go to church on Sunday, by the way, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.